Well, it's a joy to be back with you, and we do trust that our time together will be blessed of the Lord. I would like us, first of all, to turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and reading together, please, from verse number 12. Luke 5, number 12. And it came to pass, when he, the Lord Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Luke chapter 8. Verse number 43. Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Over to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse number 35. Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And finally, in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. Reading from verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I will trust that the Lord will bless the public reading from his holy word. Now, I might be wrong tonight, but I think the last time I was here, there were more children. But there's enough children for me to tell them a story, so you adults will just wait a wee minute, won't you? Are you going to listen to me, boys and girls? You know, I was never brought up in a Christian home. I'd never been to Sunday school in my life. So I didn't know anything about the Sunday school or gospel meetings, but I've heard that this has happened time and time and time again. After a meeting, when Mum is busy in the kitchen and the children are put through to the living room to play themselves. And it's usually the biggest sister that's the problem. So she turns to her wee brother and she says, Johnny, come on, let's play at meetings. Have you ever done that? Played at meetings? I've heard of this. Ah, well, Johnny wasn't too sure, but up he got anyway. Right, she says, sing a hymn. I don't know any hymns. Well, we'll sing a chorus from the Sunday school. So they sang a chorus from the Sunday school. And then the lass said, right, pray. When Daddy's preaching, he always prays. But I can't pray. Go on, you can't pray. So, blah, 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 blah. Amen. So that got that over with. And then she said, you know, the next thing that Daddy does is that he opens the Bible and he reads from the Bible. So come on, you read from the Bible. He says, I don't know where to read. Read anywhere. So he just opened it up. And you know where he came to? He came to Psalm 23. So he started off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and so on. And whew, what a relief it was when it was all finished. And he was just going to sit down when his big sister said to him, no, 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 Johnny, when Daddy finishes reading the Word of God, he preaches, so you've got to preach. But he says, I can't preach. Oh, but you'll have to do your best. Daddy does his best. So he got a wee bit fed up with his sister. So he looked at the Bible and, you know, he says, this is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? That's not in the Bible. He said, who's the preacher, me or you? I'm the preacher. And the Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Come on now, is he yours? Do you know what happened? The wee girl started crying and ran upstairs. And Mum came in from the kitchen and she says, listen, have you two been fighting again? No, Mummy, we were just playing at meetings and I don't know. She just ran away up to her bedroom. So Mummy went up to her bedroom and says, what's wrong with you, my dear? Mummy, she says, I've just realized the Lord is not my shepherd. I'm a lost sheep. And the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. And he came. We heard about it in the Sunday school today. That the good shepherd came and he gave his life for the sheep. And I want to trust him now as my saviour. And down at her bedside, you know, she trusted the Lord Jesus as her saviour. That wonderful story, just to think. The wee boy preaching these words. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? And I just want to ask you, everyone, tell me, the Lord is my shepherd, is he yours? Now, we're not worried about doctrine tonight. We're not wondering a big biblical exposition. We're not going to go into all the theology. But I just want to ask you tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ your shepherd? Because this is the determining factor whether you'll be in heaven or in hell. John, in his epistle, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So I want to concentrate your minds just for a wee minute on the Lord Jesus. And I want you to think very specially about him. We're just going to think about him. You know, he's not a historical figure in a distant past. He's a living reality. And he's here tonight. If we believe the Bible, he's here tonight. Why? Because in Matthew 18 and 20 he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, and we are gathered together in his name, owning his authority, trusting only in the guidebook for the Christian, the Bible, there am I in the midst of them. So I want us to think about the Lord Jesus in these four illustrations that we've read from the Bible. And I want to maybe be a wee bit different tonight. I want to have a testimony meeting. Now, I'm not going to give you my testimony, but we're going to think of the testimony of these dear folks that met the Lord Jesus. And I want to introduce it to you in this way. One old gentleman was a widower. His wife had died. He had only one son. And he had got married and went away. And old Dad was really sad this day. And he went up into the attic he was looking around and he saw all the things that they had and the old wedding photographs and the photograph of his boy when he went out playing and maybe when he went out fishing and so on. And he went over to his box and he noticed there was a blue book he had never seen there before. So he picked it up and he looked at it. And here it was, his boy's diary. And he didn't know that his boy kept a diary. So he flicked through the pages and he came to this page which said, "Went fishing with Dad today. It poured down rain. We caught no fish, but it was the best day in my life. It was the best day in my life." And the dear old daddy thought, "I wonder what I wrote in my diary." So downstairs he goes and into his office, opens his Bible at this date, and this is what he said. He read, "Took Johnny fishing today. Miserable day. The rain poured down. We never caught anything. Really a disappointing day." What a different attitude. What a different attitude. It's all how you... How do you look upon Jesus Christ? Is he a historical figure in the distant past? Or is he a living reality? Is he just someone that people get excited about? Or is he real? I want to ask you tonight, have you had a best day? What has been the best day in your life? I can go back to the 12th of April 1955 at approximately 8:45. I knelt down on my knees, a sinner. And for the first time in my life, I was looking into God's word, so you don't need a theological education. I was looking at it for the first time, and I just simply believed what God said in his word. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and before I got up from my knees, I knew I was saved. I knew I was born again. I knew I was bound for heaven. And the peace of God filled my soul. And oh, the feeling of cleanness. All my sin was gone. I wonder, what kind of a day have you had? Have you had an experience like that? Well, let's go to Luke chapter 5. Mr. Leper, when was the best day? Oh, he says, "I can tell you that, no bother." He says, "You know, I grew up in a family, a loving family, but you know, there came a time when they discovered that there was a red spot in my body, and then it grew, and you know, it was discovered that it was leprosy. And you know, I had to be put out of home. I had to cover my face with a cloth, and I had to walk and down the street and shout, 'Unclean, unclean, unclean.' And you know, nobody would speak to me. My friends were gone. And then I heard about the Savior, and I came to the Savior, and I cried to him. I cried to him, 'If thou canst make me heal.' And you know, the Lord touched me, and I believe maybe the thought is that he embraced him." You see, the Lord draws near to the sinner. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can go deeper than the deepest sin can ever go. And irrespective of what you've done, who you are, where you've been, if you are a sinner in the meeting tonight, if you've never been born again, he'll draw near to you, and he'll come, and he'll embrace you, and he'll take you into his family, and you will be cleansed completely, entirely, eternally, because you will be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And so he says, you know, why? The best day of my life was when I met Jesus on the roadside. When we come to the widow with the woman with the issue of blood, tell me, madam, when was that best day in your life? Ah, she says, "I've had many, many a sad day. I've had many a sad day, you know. I had this disease. And you know, I went to this doctor, and he couldn't cure me. And I went to the next doctor, and everyone charged me more. And you know, I spent all my living. And instead of getting better, I grew worse and worse and worse. And then I heard about the Savior, and I heard what he had done. And I heard that if I could, I really believed that if I could only touch the hem of his garment." Do you know something? The ladies will tell you this, I don't know about the gentlemen, but the hem is the finished part of the garment. That's what you finish with, wasn't it? And she touched the finished work of Christ. And the finished work of Christ on the cross has dealt with sin in its entirety. And she says, if I but touch it, and in simple childlike faith, pushed through the crowd, she touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says immediately the blood was stanched and she was healed. My, that was the best day in her life, wasn't it? What a joy, you know, just to go home. No more physicians, no more pain, no more agony, going home and knowing that her body was healed. When we come to Luke chapter 18, we've got Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus was a blind man, the blind beggar. You know, that's what blindness did to the people in these days. They couldn't work. They couldn't be employed. So they sat by the wayside begging. And they would beg for alms and alms and so on. And here he's sitting at the roadside. And you know, when you're blind, if you ask a blind person, you know, God compensates with giving them good hearing. We've got a blind lady in our meeting, and she's got good hearing, so you've got to watch what you say. And anyway, here, Bartimaeus, he heard that Jesus was passing by that way. It wasn't the high priest. It wasn't any of the priests. It wasn't the Pharisees, the Sadducees. It was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, the promised Messiah. And he hears he's passing by, and this is his opportunity. And he cries, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried the more, and they tried to quieten him, but he cried the more. Jesus said, "Bring him to me, bring him to me." He says, "What do you want? What do you want?" "Oh, Bartimaeus," he said, "you know, if only I could get my sight." And the Lord says, "Heal them." And you know, the very first time his eyes were opened, he looked into the beautiful face of Christ. I wonder, have you looked into his face? Beautiful face, thorn-scarred face. Beautiful to look into the face of Jesus. When we come to John chapter 3, we discover Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus by night. And he's gone through all the theological colleges of his day. He could quote nearly all the Old Testament scriptures. And here there was a deep longing in his heart. And he came to the Lord Jesus and he did a wee bit flattery. You know, he said, "We know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And the Lord never even answered his question. He says, "Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot," not he may not, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." The new birth is a vital necessity. And I would say tonight, unless you get up out of your seat and walk through that door, you'll never get home. You'll remain in the hall. So except you come to Jesus and be born again, you'll never experience God's salvation. Now, as we think of these things, the Lord Jesus, as he moved in his public ministry, he did lots of healings. We think of not only lepers and blind men and palsied men, even raising the dead. But the Lord didn't perform miracles as an end. He didn't say, "Well, now look, you can't walk. Well, rise up and take your bed and walk. Now that's you. Away you go. I'm no more interested in you." No, no. The teaching of the Bible had a spiritual input. And so when we come back to Luke chapter 5, here we have this man full of leprosy. And here we are introduced to the vileness of sin. The vileness of sin. You know, sin is a wicked thing. Sin is an evil thing. Sin comes in, and sin can break bodies, can break families, it can break homes. We think of the drug addict. And you know, I'm sure people are trying to get sympathy for that dear lady that was caught with so much drugs in her suitcase in Bali. But I tell you, if she had got through, how many more lives would have been destroyed through the partaking of drugs? So here, this leprosy, it's the vileness, you know, it may be maybe from 3 to 5 years, you'll maybe have it and you don't know it. And then it will begin to manifest itself. And just like you were born in sin, and from a little child we learn to say no. And sin manifests itself. And this man manifested and the leprosy came. And you could just imagine the parents, here they are. And they see the spot and they say, "Well, we'll need to call the priest. We'll need to have him to have a look at this." And the priest will say, I'm sorry. "Your son's a leper. Can't stay in your home any longer. You'll have to put him out." And how often have we heard of this? Sons, aye, and daughters that have given themselves over to sin and debauchery, and they've had to leave home, no longer able to enjoy the company of dad and mum, not even able to company with friends of their own in days gone by. For you see, he was going up and down the street crying, "Unclean, unclean." Everybody knew he was a leper. And there are people moving about today, you just need to look at them, and you can see the very marks of sin in their very face, in their very attitude, in their very demeanor. Sin is a terrible master. Sin devastates a life. Sin will damn a soul in hell, right to the lake of eternal fire for all eternity. And this sin must be dealt with. And here it is. Luke would tell us that this man was full of leprosy. It wasn't just a wee spot now. It wasn't like Naaman the leper where he could cover his leprosy with his medals. No, this was a man that was full. And you know, when we go into the streets, especially in the big cities, if you just have Jim McMaster here for a wee minute, and you would fully understand the awful consequences of the vileness of sin. I remember in years gone back when we used to visit the down and outs up in Elgin, in the northeast. You were going into the refuge where they were, and who were you meeting? Wasn't only the down and out and the drug addicts in the street. You were meeting lawyers, you were meeting doctors, you were meeting very well-educated people, but the demon drink had got a hold of them, and their lives were shattered, and they couldn't get free. And down they went, the terrible road of the vileness of sin. But you know, it doesn't matter how deep dyed in sin you are, when the Lord sees you, there's one lesson we've got to learn, and it's this. Maybe very easy for the leper. That's why you'll get more ungodly people getting saved than people going to church or gospel halls or religious buildings, because they don't know their need, they don't recognize their need. But a man in the gutter, he knows his need. And this leprous man, he knew his need. Oh, wilt thou, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You're my last hope. And he comes to Christ, and Christ cleanses this dear man. Would you like to feel clean tonight? Would you like to know your sin forgiven? Would you like to know your home is sure in heaven? I tell you, the Lord Jesus is here tonight to meet your need. When we come to the dear lady with the issue of blood, this is not now the vileness of sin, but this is the hopelessness of sin. You know, I wonder, have you laid hold on the oars and you've rowed and you've rowed and you've rowed, and yet you can't seem to break the circle of sin? I remember as a young man, I was nearly 20 before I got saved, and I was a very ungodly young man, and I was a drunkard. And I tell you, I wanted to get free from the drink. I mean, in the wee village in Rothes, whiskey just flowed like water. We had no limit. And I remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, getting a hold of the oars and saying, that's the finish. No more. I'm finished. I knew where it was going because a friend of mine had landed in the mental asylum. Another friend had committed suicide, drowned himself. And another friend had got into his hen house and tried to shoot himself. And he was so drunk, he only shot off half his face. And I was beginning to see that this is no life. This is no way of living. And I wanted to get free, but I couldn't get free. For when Friday night came and I got my wages in my hand, I'd forgot Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I was away in the drinking course again. Until a dear lady, so it's not always the men, you know, a dear lady invited me to go to a gospel meeting. And I went and I heard that God loved me and that Christ died for me and that I could be saved. I well remember driving over a bridge one night and saying to myself, there's something I'm looking for. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where I'll find it, but when I do find it, then I'll know that I've got it. And I shook my head and I said, Gordon, you're next for the asylum. You're next for the asylum. And you know, I studied up for about 3 weeks, but sin won't let you go. And even though you desire, you're unable to break the chains. You'll never free yourself. You'll never conquer sin. You'll try as much as you can. You need a power from out with yourself. And one who has defeated death and defeated sin and dealt with sin in its entirety at the cross, shed that precious blood that can cleanse from every sin. And you come to him and he'll cleanse you. And irrespective of your sin, I tell you. So here was this woman. She was hopeless. 12 years. Now I know some folks say, don't give much credence to this, but I can only speak truthfully. I heard the gospel, and I got saved the very first time I heard the gospel. In some parts, you know, you've got to go through a time of conviction. You've got to go come to meeting after meeting after meeting. You've got to have a deep conviction of sin before you cry out. Here was a woman, she had been 12 years. And sometimes that is necessary, especially if you're brought up in a Christian home. Aye, and you're maybe tiptoeing to your dad and mum's bedroom and opening the door and seeing if they're still there and wondering if the Lord hasn't come. But I heard it and I got saved. So, you know, the vilest offender that truly believes that moment, that very moment, a pardon receives. So here we have the hopelessness of sin. Then we have the blindness of sin. Sin blinds. You know, the Bible says, the god of this world, the devil, blindeth the minds of them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine in unto them, and they be saved. The devil comes in and he blinds you. He says, well, you really don't need to get saved. You're a good upright person. You're a good citizen of the community. You're held in high esteem. And you don't cheat anybody. You don't tell lies and so on. You don't need to get saved. And he blinds you. And he blinds you with, well, just look at all the pleasures you'll have to give up. You know, I found that I got more pleasure having been saved than I got true friends when I got saved. And I would like to take time to tell you about that, but I can't. And so here's this dear woman. She's got the last hope. She felt her need. She really felt her need. And you know, you won't get saved with a smile on your face. You won't get just slide into salvation. There's got to be that real knowledge that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy God. I'll go even further. I'll take you to John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus says, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what John 3 is telling us, God has judged you. He's looked into your heart and he sees your sin. Sin from the very moment that you were born. The principle of sin, not only your actual sin, but the very principle of sin within you, inherited from Adam. And there's never been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ. And so God says, I've judged you and I've found you guilty. And not only have I found you guilty, I've put you into the condemned cell. And you're in there, you're in the condemned cell tonight. And there's only one thing to happen. And that's for you to be taken out of the death cell and the sentence to be committed. Death. And so you could think of a man in the death cell. What a thrill. What a thrill when the man steps in. I've got a pardon for you. You can go free. You can go free. And I tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you're in the condemned cell. And there's only one thing left to happen. The sentence to be carried out. But you can have that forgiven. Because on the cross, Christ took your sentence. The sin that has brought down the wrath of God upon you and put you into the condemned cell bore on his body in the tree. And he bore him your sin on his own body upon the tree. And so here we find this man. Then we come to Bartimaeus. So he's blind. Aye, sin blinds. But then sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Here is this young man, Nicodemus. And he goes into the religion of his day. And he climbs the ladder and he climbs the ladder and he gets to the top. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's not only the Pharisee, but he's a ruler of the Jews. Paul, in giving his testimony one time to King Agrippa, he said, you know, of the straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I was very religious. And you know, some people believe today that if they're religious, if they're living for God, you know what the 1 Corinthians 13 says? If I give my body to be burned and have not love, God is love, Christ is God, Christ is love. If I give my body to be burned and I have not Christ, I have nothing. I can say without fear of contradiction, you could join all the religions of the world and still go to hell. Because what determines your salvation is this: he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the best night of your life could be tonight when you come and say, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, vile, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. You see, Nicodemus, with all his religion, with all his position, he knew there was something missing. I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was, and Nicodemus didn't know either. But he knew that there was one man that had the answer, and he came to Christ, and Christ said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, praise God, we learn that he was born again. And he was a valiant servant in taking Christ from the cross and putting him into the tomb. You know, I want to finish with this. Look back in your life. Tell me, is it sweeter as the days go by? You know, it just seems like yesterday, even today, as I look back, those, I don't know how many years ago, 50-odd years ago, when I came as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and I knelt at the foot of the cross, knowing absolutely nothing of the Bible, but knowing that there was a sin in my life, and I had a need, and I was wanting to get that fixed, and I heard that Christ could do it. And I took him as my Savior, and that very moment, I knew I was saved. Christ became my Savior. Heaven became my home. My destiny was changed. My life was changed. And what a wonderful, what is the chorus we sing? What a wonderful joy in my heart has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. And so if you'll take Christ as your Savior tonight, on the authority of God's word, thou shalt be saved. Let's pray.